And welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm your host this week, Jared Griffin. And holy cow, we have such a star-studded lineup today. Some of Kodiak's greatest comedic actors are in the studio with me here to talk about the Kodiak Arts Council's new play coming up over the next couple of weekends, The Play That Goes Wrong. And so I have several guests in here. We're going to talk about the show. We're going to talk about acting. We're going to talk about how hard comedy actually really is, but also how easy it looks. It's really easy. Come on, guys. So the interest of full disclosure, I'm a co-director along with Mike Wall on The Play That Goes Wrong. This isn't real journalism anyway. It's just a public affairs show. So I don't think I'm breaking any ethical rules here for journalistic standards. So let's go around the room, introduce, tell us your name, and what kind of part do you play in this play within a play? We'll start over here on my left with Mark.
Oh, thank you, Jared. My name is Mark Patterson, and I was cast as Robert, who is second in command of a community theater, the Cornlay Theater
of some sort. And that's why you're second in charge.
Yes, and that's why I'm number two. And in the play, within the play, I'm playing Thomas Collymore, who is a fine, upstanding English gentleman with a bit of a stick. placed strategically. I don't know where to go from.
Okay, no, that's perfect. That's perfect.
I'm Molly Miller, and I am here as the producer of the play. I am the executive director of the Kodiak Arts Council, and we are the ones frantically running around behind scene, making sure that there's sets and props and costumes and actors and directors and technical staff. And I'm really thrilled. It's going to be great.
I'm Jess Hodge. I am part of the tech crew in The Play That Goes Wrong.
But it's a special kind of tech crew.
It's a very special kind of tech crew. Only the finest people.
I'm Devin Tooker. I play Max. He's new to voice roles on the stage here. He plays Cecil Haversham and Arthur the Gardener, and he's very excited to be here and a little bit over the top.
Way.
just a little. So the structure of the play is really interesting. I wonder if you can talk about that. How would you describe it? It's basically a play within a play.
Yeah, I guess basically we're playing actors who are playing characters, and are each individual. The actor that we play has their own personality that we're kind of working through, and then the characters that actor plays also have their own unique personalities that they kind of have to. So you're kind of having to play two separate parts at one time on top of just, you know, being yourself. So it's a lot of kind of hijinks where you slip back and forth between the actor character, the character character, and sometimes a little bit yourself.
And for some of us it's rather simple, but for most of us it's difficult.
It's difficult, yeah. And so the play itself, as Mark, as you mentioned, is a community theater in England, and they are putting on a play called
Murder at Haversham Manor.
Murder. So that's the play within the play. And then what goes wrong? I mean, it's not the play that goes wrong, right?
So with, much.
Without giving any spoilers.
It starts at the curtain.
Pay attention to the set. Pay attention to who may be missing.
I know it's so difficult to talk about without all these crowd pleasing kinds of what you said, hijinks and gags and things. Molly, you were about to.
No, I was just agreeing that there's, you know, despite our actors' best intentions and best effort, things do go wrong, and how they respond to things going wrong. is where the entertainment is.
It's almost as if the set should have its own character name.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, I feel bad now. We haven't given the set a name.
We'll have to name it at rehearsal tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
We're going to workshop some names, yeah.
And so it is a comedy. So let's talk about... it's a special kind of comedy. It's a straight play. It's not a musical. But it's very accessible. Right?
Yes, it's very accessible. I mean, we chose this play because even though it's really well known in theater circles, the play came out in 2012, and so a lot of theater people know about it. It's not as well known by the general public, but it's accessible whether you're a theater nerd or just someone looking to be entertained. And it's also. We're recommending it for ages 8 and up just because there are a couple of more mature jokes and gags, but it's definitely fun, and you definitely should buy tickets and come.
Oh yes. Absolutely. And we're joined now with Anthony White, another actor who's coming in on his lunch break. Thanks so much for coming, Anthony.
Yay! Hi!
The part I like the most about the play is not only is it extremely funny, but there's no politics, there's no religion. It is just fun.
Yeah, it's not trying to say anything.
Yeah.
Other than laugh out louder.
Yeah, right. Anthony just joined us. Can you tell us what parts you play in the play?
I play the director, Chris, who's a director of... the play within the play, and Chris plays the role of Inspector Carter, who is investigating the murder that happens on stage.
So let's talk about the dual roles that you play, except for Jess. Jess, you're part of a very special tech crew. How would you describe what you guys do?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. The word that they've been calling us is the tech tours.
I love that term.
Yeah, cuz we're part of the tech crew, but you're
also visible. I think that's the big thing is that our tech tours, as we've been calling them, are characters in the play, and therefore unlike a regular show, you're going to see them on stage. At times.
Yeah.
As they desperately try to help when things go wrong.
Desperately.
They're so crucial to bringing that final character, the set, to life. They're just super important, and it's been so fun to see them bring everything to life.
So, just have you created a special tech tour character?
Yes, I have. So, my name is Dina, and Gracie Thomas, she's also one of our tech tours. Her name is Tina. So, we have a little bit of a back and forth between us. Tina made Dina do it because Tina's dad made her do it. So Dina doesn't really know what she's doing a whole lot of the time. And she's very Gen Z, very gotta have my phone on me, gotta be in the know. So
I believe we caught her taking a nap on the set.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is she not supposed to be sleeping there?
No, I'm pretty sure the set is not for napping, unless that's part of your role.
So the Cornley Drama Group is putting on a play called The Murder at Haversham
Manor.
Chris, Anthony/Chris/ Inspector. What is the plot of... Since you directed The Murder at Haversham Manor, what is the plot of The Murder at Haversham Manor?
Well, the plot is deep and it's thick. you know, there's many different tales that happen over the course of the play. We start off with a murder. The person who owns the manor, Charles Haversham, has been found to be murdered in his own house. And the other people who I... may not live there, or just visiting for an engagement party. So Charles was supposed to be engaged, and people had gone over to have an engagement party and found that he was dead. And some chaos ensues, yes, throughout the play. And another actor winds up dying. I'm not going to say who. I don't want to spoil it for
right,
everyone.
Right, right.
And it's a tale of love. It's a tale of lust. It's a tale of betrayal. It's a tale of...
Greed.
Greed, yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely yeah. Greed.
And friendship.
And friendship, yes. With a twist at the end that you would not expect to have happen.
The play is very, you know, it's big house murder mystery. It's Agatha Christie. It's Dorothy Sayers inspired the play itself. But so you guys have to balance these roles. You are yourself. You are the Cornley... drama players, and then you're also playing these characters. So as actors, oh my gosh, talk about that. How difficult was that to kind of put these pieces together? Being the professionals that you are.
There are moments where I feel like I may have been slightly typecast here. like I said, Max is pretty new to the acting world. He's a very over the top, and so getting into him wasn't too terribly difficult. I think some of the others where they're a bit more reserved are very interesting to watch happen.
I think we're all looking at Mark right now.
What was the question? Well,
So what has been your process to kind of actually play two characters at the same time in this show?
Well, I follow direction mostly. So Mike and Jared are like, don't do that. Do this, not that. I don't know. I like watching the other actors and learning a lot, especially from Anthony. And being open to learning and open to suggestions and having fun, mostly. Mm-hmm. I like that there's British and American actors on the stage and the mix of voices. Staying open to learning new things has been very helpful. Playing different roles within roles is, I think that's kind of what we all do anyway. We just don't get to change our voices around so much.
Right.
I think my favorite night of rehearsal was the night they told us to just mix up your accents, change it up, do something different. And I think my whole goal that night was to see how many different accents I could run through and how well I could throw everybody else off. Because a lot of what the show is responding to each other as things kind of fall apart.
So. Things that they don't expect.
Yep.
And that's hard because we've been rehearsing this play for 6 weeks now. And so we know the gags. We know the jokes. We know... the accents, we know how our scene partners are going to be doing their thing, but how do we keep it fresh? You know, how do we, when things go wrong, how do we look surprised? You know, when things go wrong.
Yeah, and part of the challenge has been figuring out, you know, who my main character is and what his backstory is and all the successful shows that he was able to be a part of. They were really successful.
Like Cat.
And then,
James, where's your peach?
And then to take that and change it into the inspector, and then what is his backstory? You know, where does that character come from? And it has been a big challenge to manage both of those and keep them separate, but still together, like, because parts of Chris will come out in Inspector Carter and potentially vice versa. But to that point of, you know, always being on your toes and being able to change it, lately in rehearsal, Wall and Liz have been yelling at me while I'm on stage talking and disrupting me every single thing I say. And it's a good exercise because it forces you to stay in character, forces you to work with the audience. And this show is just as much our show. Yeah, you. Look, there he goes again.
That was Mike Wall just popping in to yell at Anthony again.
It is just as much a show that we present to the audience, but we want the audience to participate as well. And the more the audience participates, I think makes it a much more fun, much funner, the funnest show in the world.
Fun, but dangerous too. Yes, the unpredictability of it all.
Well, that's it. It's all pretty much improv. Yeah. I mean, when we auditioned for it, it wasn't read the lines and see how well you read it. It was improv these scenes and how well can you manage sudden, unexpected changes. And while the work we do on stage is expected, something's gonna go wrong in that process, or someone might miss something, or a prop is missing, and we just got to be able to work around it. And I think it just shows in a testament to how talented these folks on stage and backstage and the lighting crew and just everyone, how much talent we have here in the community.
Mm-hmm. You know, in my personal opinion, this is, I think, the straight up side splitting funniest comedy that we've ever done in Kodiak. It's just from beginning to end. And people who have seen the show, either on Broadway, or in New York City or elsewhere, always talk about just how it really is a show where you laugh until your sides literally hurt. There's just so much going on, and that's a lot of pressure for comedic actors.
I think that should be brought up for the audience participation, that's what that is. It's not like getting up on stage and acting with us or dancing in the aisles or but laughing out loud.
Yeah. Yes. Don't throw things at me. That's not the kind of participation we're looking at.
No food tomatoes allowed in there.
No food in the auditorium.
And Anthony, I know we have just a couple minutes left with you, so I'll ask you this one. So playing comedy versus playing drama, which was more of your role in Chicago last year, what's easier?
I'd say drama's easier because the lines are what you give and that's what you deliver. Comedy, you have to, I mean, with drama, you have to think about your body and your facial expressions and how you're reacting, interacting with other characters, but it's all scripted. Like it becomes formulaic after a while. And once you can memorize that, you're good to go, unless your audio doesn't play. But with comedy, it's a totally different beast. You have to think about timing. Your timing has to be exact or the joke will not land. You have to anticipate things not going as planned and be able to work around that and still deliver the kind of entertainment that the audience is expecting. It's been difficult, and I don't think I've played anything before that was quite along these lines. So it's been a really good experience for me.
Mark and Devin, this is your first. You know, you've been on the main stage before, though, Mark. We were in Mary Poppins together.
Yeah, I've been in a couple shows.
You gave me a couple dirty looks as a cop, I think, at
I
one
did.
Point. and I'm still getting them.
Never.
All right, so big stage. What's your experience trying to fill this big stage with your comedy and your energy?
Like I said, Max gets to be very over the top, so he kind of straight out the gate, he comes to, from that point of just he's here to be heard. He's here to be seen. So that's been so much fun because, yeah, the previous work that I've done here in Kodiak has just been done in the drama pod with Boo and Boo 2. You know, that's not quite as difficult to fill that whole room with your sound. Being on the main stage is it's been so much fun. to aim for the corners, aim to make sure that everybody way in the back is going to be able to hear, and we have more space to work with on the stage itself. So it's been really cool to kind of cover these back and forth bits where, you know, at one point we go around the stage quite a few times. So it's really a lot of cardio. <I've found. laughs>
And bruised knees.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. A lot of nursing some bruises at the end of the night. So, yeah.
I like the physicality of the role that I play. I get to move a lot and try not to get killed a few times. I've been in a few musicals. I like the singing and dancing and the bright lights over the winter time. It's always helpful. But as far as a speaking role, this is definitely new for me and very enjoyable. Meeting new friends is always good, and learning new things.
Let's see, where are we on time? Okay, we're good on time. Okay, so without any major spoilers, your favorite part of the show?
Ooh.
I know.
Not dying.
That is a great little teaser right there.
Yeah.
Winston. If you come see the show, you'll understand.
So we have neglected to mention that there is a dog.
There is.
In the play, and the dog is your dog.
It is, yeah. It's my dog.
Talk about your dog.
My dog Obi. So he's a rescue. He's a little Chihuahua mix. He's a little bit of everything. He's a shy little dude, but we brought him to do pictures and to kind of look around the stage. And as a dog, he normally doesn't get too terribly far from me. So this is going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, and I mean he's only on stage for not very long.
Yeah.
He's not on stage for very long. So.
It's been pretty cool to...
I don't think we've had a live talk on stage since, like, maybe Annie so many years ago. So this has been a new experience for me. I've directed so many shows. I've never had to direct an animal before. So that's actually been kind of a learning experience for me, too. So... Yeah.
It's a good thing that Devin brings his bag of treats. Your foot might have been missing.
Yeah.
He is rather ferocious at times.
He's a vicious beast.
Yeah, and he tends to sometimes, you know, he'll get a little lost amongst the cast and crew because he's just so popular.
Yeah, it can sometimes be hard to find him to get him back to attention.
Yeah,
focus on the role.
Jess, favorite part.
Assuming I know what Mark is talking about, then I'm going to have to go with what Mark is talking about.
Not
just that area on the stage and all the people that get to be in that area on the stage.
So. We're being very cryptic because we want you to be surprised. We want you to be wowed at the whole spectacle of the thing. And you just have to trust us that it is... funny.
That's
funny.
One thing that I'm relieved that I'm a tech tour and you don't see me as much because I'm laughing backstage. You can't really do that on the stage.
Right.
So it is just there's so many funny things happening.
Well, and that comes to the next thing that, like, you should come see the show, but then you should come see it again because there's also a lot that goes on and that definitely... You know, I haven't been at every rehearsal, but the rehearsals, you know, I notice new things each time I get to see the show. And it is. It's very funny.
Yeah. This is most definitely a show to see twice because you can't. There are several moments that there's a lot going on. You're going to miss.
And also where you sit in the theater, there's things that sight lines, depending on where you're sitting, are better for certain things than others.
So we have a couple minutes left. So Molly, let's go over the details. All the details.
So the details are our opening night is Saturday, March 2nd, 7 p.m. We have a matinee on Sunday, March 3rd. Then the following weekend, we have a performance on Friday, March 8th at 7 p.m. and a performance on Saturday, March 9th at 7 p.m. And we close with a matinee on March 10th. At 2 p.m. Tickets are available online. If you go to kodiakarts.org/tickets, you can click on the calendar for whichever date you want to go to and purchase tickets for that show. What am I leaving out? What else do people need to know? You can also, if you have trouble purchasing tickets, if you run into issues, if you need access to our wheelchair accessible tickets, please call the office, 907-942-5840, and we can assist you in getting your tickets purchased and getting the seats that you need.
And get tickets in the middle, and then on the left, and then on the right. And the show is not one of those where you're wishing that you're getting to get up and leave. You'll be dismissed before you really want to leave.
And the show, that's the other thing to mention. Like, the show is just about 2 hours long. We're going to do a short intermission, so you have a little bit of time to get up and stretch your legs during the show. But it's not a dragger, and it goes really fast, and you'll be surprised that it's gone as fast as it has.
There have been a lot of times when I've been on stage and I'm like, we've only been here for 20 minutes, right? And it's been, you know, that hour has gone by. I'm like, whoa, wow, what?
Yeah. Okay, all right. So let's go around the room one last time. Okay. Devin, what's your pitch? Why should people come see this show?
You get a little mystery, you get a little comedy. You get a little bit of panic. The panic is my favorite.
Yes,
do. We have not talked about the panic.
The first rehearsal I sat through, there was some panic. There was some panic about liability issues. Yes. But it all worked out. It's great. It's
of
worth
course.
It.
Yes.
Gosh. I mean, it's just going to be so funny. Like, it's just going to be such a great time. Like, and it's something to do. Like, I mean, what else are you going to do this weekend and next weekend? Just come to all the performances.
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah. It's totally worth it because we're not sure when the next big kind of just comedy like this is going to come sit on our laps. So, Mark, final word.
Oh, yeah. So I've had loads of people tell me that it's really good to see me back on stage, and I told both of them, thank you. It's really good to be back here. It's a lot of fun working with such talented folks, and there's a lot of talent. I don't think that's any surprise. So come see a really good show and have it lighten you a little bit.
Yeah, yes. The talent is off the charts. We also have, oh my gosh, who else is in the show? Maren Miller, Josh Davis, Roy Thomas. Who am I missing?
Christina. Van Hoogmeen.
Yes, Christina for sure. Oh my gosh. And then more tech doors, Gracie Thomas. We got Shauna back there. We got Maggie back there.
Caleb
Fish, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a great... great cast, great vibes, great energy. It's like the perfect cap for a long, dark winter.
And Scott Witterow. And Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Scott. Yes.
Scott.
Oh, my God. Scott playing the newbie. Oh, my gosh. Scott has, like, epic side-eye reactions. I know you haven't really sat in the audience, but if you ever get to sit in the audience and watch Scott's side-eye just reactions to things, oh, my gosh. It's just so pitch perfect. It's... this weekend, next weekend, come see the play That Goes Wrong. You will not regret it. In fact, you will regret only seeing it once, I think. That's the only regret you'll have is just seeing it once. So thanks again to my guests, Mark, Molly, Jess, Devin. Thanks so much for coming on to talk about the play That Goes Wrong, and we'll see you all this weekend.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
My pleasure.